listening to The Water Cooler on Podcast One.
Water Cooler. Water Cooler. Water Cooler.
Hello and welcome to Water Cooler, episode number 265. Also known as 69 plus 69 plus 69 plus 58. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know how the show goes. All right, Chris Loxamana. Or Chris Clocksamana. Clock? No, okay. No. Chris Loxamana.
It sounds like you're saying Clocksamana.
It does sound.
Like you wear a clock all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Clocksamana.
Like, who's that rapper who had
Flavor
the
Flav.
Flavor you Flav.
You're the Flavor Flav of podcasting. I've always said that.
Well, there you go, Pixel Fun. Have fun. You know how the show goes. All right, Chris Loxamana. Kick with Micro Digital Buds. Philly style with me today. Kaelin Beans here.
What's going on?
Hi, Kaelin.
Hi.
You got a flicking today?
I do.
Yes. Gary Smith's here.
Charcuterie.
Is that right, Matt? Did he say it correctly?
Listen, I got a boner here and I'm saying it that way. I don't even know if it was right, but it sounded right.
Yeah, okay. I guess it worked. Hi, Matt.
So you're pooping?
Hey, brother. Poop boner.
Yeah, Matt Fondelish here. Mike Dawson's here too.
Shaka Khan.
Shaka Khan. All right, we got a lot to get into. We got a flicking. We got a Shay. We got a tech talk. And I got some listener comments here. So why don't we just get into some comments right off the bat. Here we go.
Now it's time for listener comments.
All right. We love everybody contributing to the show, especially in our Facebook group. And if anybody wants to join the Facebook group, it's very easy. Just go to facebook.com/groups/BoboBoyArmyWorldwideLLC. Answer a few questions correctly, and we'll let you in. It's as easy as it gets.
It's a good thing you clarified, because people could just answer the question incorrectly and think that they get in.
Well, Gary, I think that does happen a lot.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I submitted an answer.
Yeah, I submitted an answer. What else do you want from me?
Yeah.
But there's specific questions to this show, so make sure to listen to the back catalog if you want to know them. All right. Here we go. This first post. This is from Tyler Smith. He writes, not on purpose, but I found myself snacking on a nice Alaska reindeer sausage along with Matt trying it for the first time. As a resident Alaskan listener, I'm happy to hear you enjoyed it. That's one of my favorites. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler.
Tyler from Alaska. And how weird, he was enjoying reindeer with us.
Now, he didn't specify how it was prepared, or did he?
He said
sausage?
Reindeer sausage,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Although, for
a moment, it crossed my mind that he was feasting on it.
He might have had a can opener that worked.
That would have helped us, that's
possible.
For sure.
I know. We only got reindeer gravy. We didn't even get any reindeer.
I told my wife that I drank the gravy, and she refused to kiss me for 3 days.
Oh, that'll do it.
3 days.
Until she had the sausage herself, because Matt's charcuterie platter had some of that very reindeer sausage.
That's right.
And one of the best sausage I've ever had.
It was up there.
Yeah, it's very, very flavorful, at least that version. So do yourself a flavor. Try some reindeer sausage. Jacob Morales, also along lines of some Shea Fondelet, he asks a question. He says, I can't remember if the gang has done a sandwich bracket amongst other Shea Fondelet bits. Has there ever been one? No, there hasn't.
There has not. We've teased the idea of it, but
that's right.
I fear that it would really tear this group apart.
I mean, look, we made it through the practically starving semicircle, okay. The Super Bowl, we still have yet to find out what that'll do to us, but so far, so good. We're okay. I'm still in mourning about pho being off the table, but yeah, I think a sandwich one is definitely in our future, as well as Gary made note of this when we were talking in a production meeting, a 90s movie, a 90s classics bracket as well, so... Like, yeah. Kids classics. Blank Check, Sandlot, First Kid.
I feel like that, Chucks. If we are to do a bracket on movies, I would not be the one responsible. It's really Kaelin's department if we're going into the flicking of films.
Can you imagine what Kaelin's bracket would look like, though? I mean,
I'm just saying. I don't think I would want to be in charge of that.
All right.
Yeah, there's a couple movies on that 90s list I probably haven't even seen.
The problem is Kaelin wasn't alive when most of those movies came out, so...
Very true, but I still like that idea.
Yeah.
We might visit it. Christopher Logan, he asks, What is everyone's go-to karaoke song? Dawson's music recommendations always send me down a ridiculous rabbit hole, which led me back to my old-time go-to of Wicked Games by Chris Isaac.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Gutsy.
It's gutsy. Good. It's a classic melody. Yeah, that's a fun one. And I have a few others that everybody wrote in, too. But let's hear your guys'. It's been a while since we've done some karaoke. We've talked about doing the water cooler karaoke and how fun that was.
Mm-hmm.
But if karaoke came back tomorrow, you went on stage, you grabbed that microphone, what are you singing?
You're asking me specifically?
Yeah, I'm going to start with you, Matt.
Well, I would say, speaking of 90s, that's really my jam.
Yeah.
For a really long time, it was What I Got by Sublime.
Really?
And then occasionally throw in a Semi-Charm Life, Third Eye Blind.
People Pleaser.
Although I noticed that's a really long song, and so...
It's very long.
You don't want to be up there for that long.
It's a lot of lyrics, too.
And I'm also a fan, I've never performed it live, but I've always wanted to do Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth.
The Smash Mouth's lesser-known hit,
that's right.
Although really good song. I remember
fucking
that
great song.
Great song.
Yeah.
I like any 90s rock song that starts to border on the rap within terms of how fast the lyrics are coming, because I feel like that's really the impressive thing to try to do when you're singing karaoke. You got to show people that you got control of your breathing and you could do all of the rhythm.
End of the world. It's the end of the world.
That one's tough. It also helps to know all the words prior to going into it.
Yeah, it's hard to just to do that on the fly.
What about you? What's your go-to?
If I went up tomorrow, it would either be... If you want to go rap, I love myself some Mo Money, Mo Problems. Or Usher's Nice and Slow. Hmm. I really like that song, too. And I don't know. I enjoy singing it. So that's probably what I'd do. Gary?
Try to avoid karaoke at all costs.
What was the last karaoke song you sang?
I honestly have no idea. But I think if you force me to go up tomorrow, I would pick something like Sweet Caroline or something that was going to end up with the whole crowd singing so that I wasn't the sole focus.
Just get the whole room, the whole group involved. Sure.
You know.
I feel like that's a key because there really are two kinds of karaoke songs. There's I'm a Master, Watch Me Work, and there's Everybody Sing Along.
Yeah. So the Chris version and the Gary version is what you're saying.
Sure.
Actually, you'd be surprised.
Karaoke.
One time, karaoke.
There you go.
Yeah, that's when everybody sings along. Messiah, listener, Messiah, I think that's how you pronounce it. Aptly sings Living on a Prayer.
That's good.
Nice.
Because he says, by the verse, every woman in the room has joined in.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a great strategy.
That makes sense, but that's a hard song to sing. But if everyone in the group is singing along, then nobody's going to care about your own pitch or how well you've done it. But last time I sang Nice and Slow was in Vegas. And weirdly, the entire crowd knew it, and they all got up on stage and just started freak dancing me as I sang it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it was one of my first Vegas trips with Jen. And she was oddly impressed.
Well, when that many panties drop, how can you not be?
Dude, so many panties drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a Richter scale reading during that performance. Doss.
It's always some Neil Diamond, either Love on the Rocks or Forever in Blue Jeans. I once won lunch for two at the Horizon Buffet in South Lake Tahoe singing Forever in Blue Jeans.
Wow.
Is that what you did on the cruise ship?
No, I did Love on the Rocks. Oh. Love on the Rocks.
No, I knew it was one of those two.
Yeah. And Kalen?
I think I did karaoke one time in my life, and I have just a very vague recollection of it with like a whole group of people.
Went up with other people.
Like I didn't even pick the song. I honestly have no idea what I would pick, but I remember after a full day of drinking on the cruise, getting down to some No Scrubs on the dance floor. So I feel like I could do a little No Scrubs karaoke.
Kalen gets down to No Scrubs.
Yeah,
oh my God, you get down. You do moves I didn't even know existed.
I didn't either.
And super impressive. So yeah, that's maybe mine will be No Scrubs if Kalen's in the audience. Because I think I like what that does to him.
Kalen, were you a lifelong TLC fan or did that start after Waterfalls?
It was Waterfalls that really did it. Now, I don't really know the whole catalog of TLC songs. I just remember being a very big fan of Waterfalls when I was a kid. And yeah, that's how it all got started.
What about the ones that any songs that annoy you? I got a couple that whenever I would hear somebody start singing it, I'd kind of go, "Oh no."
Anything by Neil Diamond.
For instance, I really don't like it when people sing "I've Got Friends in Low Places."
Yeah,
it's just such
a
weird energy song that everybody, you're guaranteed to hear it when you go karaoke.
I feel like the Journey song is also just totally fucked out.
Yeah. Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing, yeah.
But that's a karaoke
classic.
It is, for sure.
So is Low Places, I feel.
Yeah, it is. Everybody loves it but me. I'm just saying I get kind of over it. Yeah.
I still get into Low Places when somebody comes up with that. Yeah, I enjoy that
You're
very
rocking
much.
What about I would walk 500 miles.
I would get into that. Yeah. I would totally get into that.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's good.
That karaoke with an accent is totally cool. If you can sound like that guy, then all the power to you.
Well,
the
sometimes I like to do Neil and Barbara for You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
You do both parts.
Yeah. Both parts,
The harmonizing, it must be amazing.
I can't. Well, you can't do that.
Tell that to those throat singers.
Yeah, those Gregorian
throat singers. Shit. I got to get on YouTube, figure that out.
Yeah. Other classics, listener Zach says Umbop is his go-to, that's classic.
See, again, that's 90s. 90s is great for karaoke.
Yeah, Jacob says, have you ever seen The Rain, CCR?
Sure.
Dennis said Texas Flood, which, do some air guitar while you're at it. And, another one, Mike Wilper says Boys in the Hood. I mean, that's classic, too. So they're fun songs. We miss karaoke. Can't wait for it to come back. This one was interesting. Maureen posted a poll in our Facebook group. Which Bobo Boy had the biggest or best glow-up since we were introduced to them through Corolla Studios? Dawson.
This is a no-brainer.
Look, Dawson looks at me and goes, what's a glow-up? Gary, what's a glow-up?
Improvement in their life.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see people – the classic thing is you'll see a side-by-side of somebody losing a bunch of weight and looking way sexier in the after photo, and it'll be captioned or hashtagged as a glow-up.
Well, Gary says this is a no-brainer. And I think our entire group also thought it was a no-brainer because leading the pack for best glow-up among us, Kalen Bean.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey.
Nice by show, far,
all right.
You have had the best glow up. So from episode one to now,
if glow up means growing up, then yes,
it might mean growing up too. But you started behind the glass. You had no direction,
nowhere to go,
no socks,
no socks.
I had socks. They just
they didn't match and they weren't. Once they get a hole in them, they're no longer socks.
False
trash that you're wearing.
You get foot covers out of a sock with a hole in it.
You get partial foot covers.
Also, I feel like since you've put the mask on full time, it's just been a massive improvement when I look at your face.
Thanks, man. So Kalen leads the pack with at the moment 47 votes in first place. Second place is me with 12 votes.
Nice.
So
now they thought it said grow up for you.
Yeah, they might have. They were all misread. Gary's next with 6 votes. Then Dawson with 2. Then Jacuzzi Pete with 1 and Matt with 0.
Wow. never been more flattered to be last in line in my life.
That's amazing.
Speaking of,
so wait, what people are saying is that I haven't improved at all.
Or what
you
were
already
so starting?
Yeah.
The disparity is
I like
negligent.
That. I agree.
I love how we all just knew to do that.
3 people said the same.
Matt, when I was younger, I was the fattest kid in my elementary school, and every time a kid would call me fat, every parent would go, "He's just healthy. Don't call him. He's just healthy. No, he's fat." No, he's just healthy. He's just healthy, Andrew. And
wow,
making up
that
friends
one,
again.
That one name stuck with you.
I actually went through the Rolodex, and there are weirder names that I think I would have doxed him if I would have said the first name. So I went with the most generic one. But yeah, so it was just like it's weird that every parent just do that, and I thought, I guess I'm just healthy.
Yeah,
I wasn't. Let's see here, David Hundley. Speaking of Kalen's socks, He is doing a project, and I'll just read about it. He says, I'm a machine learning engineer in my day job, so I thought it might be fun to try and build a predictive model that can predict what score slash flickable status Kalen might give a not yet flicked movie or show. He says it's very difficult since the Bean Scale can be quite volatile. I've been gathering the data on his previous scores from archived episodes. So far, I'm up to episode 20, and we've already had some interesting moments, including flicking some free socks a listener sent in.
Nice.
And he has made a spreadsheet of all of Kalen's scores with notes and if it's flickable and what episode and the category. I'll read you some of them because these are some throwbacks. For instance, Kalen's very first flicking was Zoolander 2. It was episode 10. And he rated it flickable 7 out of 10 beans.
Wow.
Zoolander 2?
Zoolander 2, yeah.
7 out of 10.
Pretty high score.
He had a really good edible before he said that.
Yeah, seriously. I think it was also just the excitement of the Bean Scale.
Mm.
We got invited to a private press screening. And we had a really
fun.
Good time.
That was fun.
So
that's a good
right.
night.
You got the free press screen.
That could have been it. Another one, Deadpool 1.
Wow.
Episode 13. You rated it flickable 10 out of 10 beans. So way better than The Birth of His Daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, way better.
Way better.
Slightly
but...
better.
Almost a full point.
Almost.
But then you rated The Martian. You rated flickable, but 8 out of 10 beans.
Hmm.
And the HBO show Vinyl, 7.5 out of 10 beans. Kalen already knows all these scores. I'm really telling you guys.
Sure. Right.
That's a great tagline for Vinyl, by the way. Half a bean better than Zoolander 2.
Yeah. Well, this one's one of my favorite notes. In episode 12, Kalen, you gave The Big Short flickable 8 out of 10 beans. But the note is, Gary had to read Kalen's notes since Kalen had a mouth issue.
Canker sores, probably.
That must have been it.
Yeah.
Wow, this is crazy. Oh, there's one thing I do want to find out. It is unknown. It wasn't formally flicked, but somebody randomly asked Kalen for the score of Seinfeld on the fly, which you provided 10 out of 10 beans, but you didn't say if it was flickable or unflickable. So he wasn't able to put that in his spreadsheet.
Well,
can you clear
Seinfeld
that up?
Seinfeld is very flickable. You can add that to your spreadsheet.
There you go.
Love it. And then, and the free socks from Taylor in Florida. 7 out of 10 beans. Terminator 1, you gave it 10 beans unflickable. You acknowledge it's a great movie, but doesn't like watching his dad have sex.
For people who are just tuning in, his dad is in the movie.
we should make note of that.
His dad is
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So, David Hundley, keep the screenshots going. There's 21 ratings already in 21 episodes, so that's pretty crazy.
I believe right after that he posted another screenshot that he got to episode 22 where we did a fire round.
Yeah, I have that.
Okay.
Yeah. See?
It's so fun.
It's too fun. So, yeah, thank you for doing the Lord's work, and we can't wait. So he's going to create a system, Kalen.
That is crazy.
It's going to predict your scores based off of –
If it gets all the way up to the current and the model has been created, then maybe I'll let him know the movie or the show ahead of time.
Before I do the review,
he can plug it into his program and we'll see how accurate it is.
I just like to imagine him sitting down at the dinner table with his family and his wife's like, "What'd you do today, honey?" He has to explain to her. Well, there's this thing called the Bean Scale.
He's just pulling his hair out because of how inconsistent it is. You're gonna break the internet. And I'm excited. Oh, speaking of breaking the internet, Kevin McCarthy. Listener Kevin McCarthy. He started a fundraiser on our Facebook group to buy us lunch. It's already up to an undisclosed amount. Mm. Now,
Kevin buys you lunch?
Well, it's not just Kevin. It's a crowdfunded campaign. Kevin, I must say, I really appreciate the gesture. It's like it's so nice and flattering that people want to buy us lunch because that's like the nicest thing is buying us food.
Yep.
But it feels weird. I feel shilly because we already do the Patreon. People sent us money and we've acknowledged it, but I don't want people to think that they need to buy us lunch all the time.
I agree with you. I felt a little weird when I saw it, but I mean, this gentleman took it upon himself to do it. It's not like he asked any of us, and who are we to... You know?
Yeah.
But it was funny that he put the goal at 2 undisclosed sums of money. I thought that was weird.
So we'll see what it gets you. But thanks to everybody who contributed, and thanks, Kevin. Amy Chapman writes, did a Hot Spoon Food tribute with some buds the other night. Where did white bean chicken chili land?
Yeah, that wasn't on our list.
Wasn't on the chili.
That's in the chili category.
Yeah, I tried to put chili on there, and I was lambasted.
Chili's not soup.
And also,
it is Hot Spoon Food.
Instapot versus Crock-Pot. Where are you guys at?
Instapot, because you can do Crock-Pot stuff with most Instapots.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. Don't know the difference.
And then I think the newest one is there's Instapots now that are also air fryers.
Wow. There you go. Wow.
I'm with Kalen. I also do not know the difference between these things.
Instapot adds the element of pressure, like real high pressure into the cooking, to where you can get Crock-Pot results in like a fraction of the time.
Yeah, well, for me, a crock pot is all about time, so I'd take the crock pot.
Mm.
Yeah, why aren't
you
supposed to be
savoring?
And yeah, exactly. Like, isn't the whole idea supposed to be simmering all day?
Did you not hear? I said you get crock pot results
If I'm cooking in a crock pot, I don't want to eat in 30 minutes.
That's very vinyl of you, Dawson.
But if the result is the same. Then
what are we talking about? Yeah.
Then wouldn't you?
But there is something nice
about... If the end result is the same, then you're just saving time at that point.
But there is something nice about...
I don't know. I've never used either. I'm just using one.
The idea of a slow cooker is it slow cooks.
But the result is
the
same.
We can turn it on and go to work.
That's
what they're saying is that with this other one, you don't have to turn it on before you go to work. You can turn it on when you get back from work, and it will still be ready for you in time for dinner, and it'll taste just as good.
But there is this, like, I think there is a slow cooker setting on it, so whatever you can do in a crock pot, you can actually still do.
That's what I want. I want to get an Instapot and then slow it down.
Yeah. There you go. Let's see. KC Peters, he wrote, when I got my first new car, I swore I wouldn't cover it with stickers like I had in the past. Until now. And he proceeded to put up a picture of a water cooler sticker on his window. Smack dab in the middle of his window.
We have water cooler stickers?
Yeah.
Some incredible fan. I believe Joe Giugiaro.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I think your car looks good. What a weird place to put it, though.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the middle is weird to me, but if you're going to put a sticker on your car, in my opinion, it has to go on a window.
Yeah.
Because that's the only place you can get it off of if you change your mind later.
Don't put it on the paint.
See, I think you put it in the perfect spot, because if he gets pulled over, an officer is going to walk by, and they're going to see that sticker, and they're going to go, move along, sir.
It's like back the badge.
Day.
Exactly like
that.
That
is true, yeah. The water cooler sticker has some perks.
Mm-hmm. You know.
If you're ever driving through... I don't know, Chunk Nibbles factory in Michigan. maybe he'll get a little discount. Let's see here. Do you guys put stickers on your car, half stickers on your car?
I had stickers on my car when I was 16, like my first car. I had
like what kind of stickers?
Homer Simpson decal.
Had
a couple sarcastic bumper stickers that weren't – what they were in is like in a holder, like
what
a suction
one say?
Cap holder. Oh, man. I think one of them was – sarcasm, just another service I offer, or something like that. You get that shit in Las Vegas.
That's
there's
good.
Like a bumper sticker door.
That's good.
Doss, you put stickers on your car? You seem like a bumper sticker guy.
I've always been a big fan of the Deadhead stickers. But you can't. That's just that's going to attract a cop. You get pulled over, he's going to look for the weed. I do have a Burbank Benevolent Police Association sticker on the window of my tailgate camper shell, and then I used to have a Stealth Jerry hand. That's the missing Jerry Garcia hand with the missing ring finger.
Yeah, the Dan Cook
logo.
I had
that on the side of my car, but you couldn't really notice it. But yeah, I'd go for a steal your face. But I always have weed on me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a new day. You're allowed to have weed on you.
Oh.
That's true, but you're still not allowed to be stoned and driving.
That's true, too.
I don't think the sticker's going to fix that.
What about you, Gary? Any stickers on your Tesla?
Not on my current car. In my past cars, I had a couple stickers in the window, but I always do is I put them up from the inside of the car so that they're behind tinted glass, so it's not, like, super apparent.
Mm.
But, yeah.
But you wouldn't put any on your car now, huh? Minus the carpool sticker.
The carpool sticker is pretty much it.
What if Gary Jr. makes the honor roll?
Ooh,
then it's
going to
look great on his mom's car.
What about you, Kalen? Sticker guy?
No, not on my car. I have put stickers on my laptop.
Oh, that's right. You don't have any now, though.
I don't have any now.
Took them all off.
I have taken them off, yeah.
You had the Coachella sticker. Oh, he's blown up. Yeah, that's right.
I had the Coachella sticker, and then I had a Rick and Morty sticker on there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was just like last year.
Yeah.
It was pretty recent.
What made you grow up? Having kids?
I guess so.
Yeah.
That must have been it. But look, you won by a landslide. Yeah. And one last poll, Joe Urbanek. He saw this. He writes, saw this being discussed in another group, and I thought we better get a definitive answer here. Who is the best Ninja Turtle? Now, before we get into this, I must ask Dawson. Dawson, can you name all four Ninja Turtles?
Michelangelo,
Boom.
Leonardo,
Boom.
Donatello,
hey!
And Ice.
Oh, wow.
Raphael?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Hey.
Right. Dude, this is fucking weird. I'm wearing a Ninja Turtles t-shirt today.
That is really weird, man.
Weird that I'm 36 years old wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt, and weird that you brought it up today.
You don't wear that shirt at all.
Well, the whole day, at least.
That's true. I hope so.
Yeah.
It's very faded.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Been through the wash a few times.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, let's talk about best.
No, I have one of those too, and I'm realizing it must be lost in my closet. I haven't worn it in a long time, but I have a similar one.
Weird. I didn't know you guys had those. It's weird. I didn't even, because Matt's been wearing his Jurassic Park shirts lately. I haven't seen
anything. Mix it up, Barrow. Mixing it up.
You are. So Michelangelo's in the lead, according to this poll.
Of course he is.
34. Raphael, 20. Leo at 17. And, of course, Donatello, last 15.
Bullshit.
Why is that bullshit, Matt? Were you Donatello growing up?
I fucking always was, of course. Now, somebody brought up, I believe, in this Facebook chain that when you played the Ninja Turtles arcade game, Donatello's weapon had the longest range.
Most reach. Always
the best.
Yeah, he had the bow staff.
But I've always felt like everybody loves Michelangelo. Everybody thinks Michelangelo is the most hilarious. But in this podcaster's opinion, you need Donatello in order to be the funny one. They're really more of a team. And he's the dry, sensible, funny one. And Michelangelo is just a showboat.
I would say Donatello is funny. Very funny in his own way, especially in all the movies. He is the one who kind of cracks the dry humor.
Yeah.
And he's also the nerd, though, Matt.
Well, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but all these things apply to my personality as well. So I'm sticking with Donatello.
I love Donatello. I don't think he should be last. Gary.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to go Leonardo, but I don't really know what that's based on. I was surprised no one had added Splinter to this.
He's not a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, I know, but people are contrarians.
Jacuzzi Pete made it. You think Splinter would make it.
Now, I guess we should combine the polls and say which Ninja Turtle had the biggest glow up.
Ooh. Oh. Raphael.
I think it's Raphael.
Yeah. Kalen, who's your favorite?
I don't think it's fair for me to answer this question because I've never seen a Ninja Turtles movie or TV
God damn it.
Show
be
before
older.
In my life.
Be older. You're
really?
Fucking 15
my
years old.
My older brothers liked it. I never watched it. If it was based only on the name, I like Donatello the best, but that's about as far as
let me explain it to you, Kalen, because you're watching Cobra Kai right now.
I am.
You're loving it.
We'll see.
Now imagine if those people were turtles.
That's a good sell.
Yeah,
that's a good sell.
You might want to get into it now, don't you? Dossie's your fave.
I don't have one. I know the guy Mikey Kelly who did the voice for Michelangelo in the movie.
Dude.
So I guess I'd say him.
Yeah. All right. And I'll round it out with
let me guess, Kino.
I do love Kino. My friend worked with him at a Vans store.
Wow.
Like the shoe store.
Things are really going great for Kino. Yeah. <huh? laughs>
I think he quit because he kept getting recognized, Ernie Reyes Jr. But yeah, he took a job at the Vans store at my buddy's place and it was Kino.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. Still a martial artist, though, too. And he was a star of Surf Ninjas.
That's right.
Let's see. I think, well, I was always Leonardo growing up, but I don't know if he was my favorite. Because swords are pretty, it's a pretty gory weapon, and I'm not a big gore guy. If you're in a sword fight, there's going to be some gore.
There was a lot of murder in Teenage Ninja Turtles.
That actually was, looking back as an adult, watching those movies, is a little disturbing. Because
it was, then.
The turtles love kicking people's asses.
Yeah.
Like, they love it. They love smashing people and making fun of the people that they're assaulting with deadly weapons.
The only thing they love more is pizza.
That's right.
Yeah, they do love that. Oh, with that super stretchy cheese.
And can you imagine that if you were desperate and trying to rob a jewelry store with some of your friends, and all of a sudden, four gigantic turtles wielding deadly weapons started murdering your friends?
Yeah.
I would be traumatized.
I understand. You're a Shredder sympathizer.
Right. Foot Clan for life.
Oh, the Foot Clan. Those guys never stood a chance. Foot Soldiers.
Foot Soldiers.
Yeah, Foot Soldiers. I just think Donatello had the most and Michelangelo, because they were kind of just blunt, and you would injure them, but Raphael and Leo could probably cut you in half.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. All right. And that will do it for our listener comments. Thank you, everybody, for writing in to our Facebook group. You guys are keeping it fun, and we really appreciate it. Now, let's do a tech talk, because Gary has a quick one, and might lead me to something I want to do with Matt in a moment. But let's start it off with Gary.
Yeah, I got the new iPhone when it came out recently, and the new iPhones have a built-in thing, a built-in magnet in the back where you can get a little charger. It's called MagSafe, and you can get a charger, just snaps on there, and that's how it'll charge. I thought I was going to love this thing. I ordered it, and I wanted it for my bedside, but because it's magnetic, it snaps on, and it's a little loud, so that's not going to really work out. But what I did order is Apple also makes a little wallet that holds three cards and just snaps onto the back of your iPhone like that. And for me, I don't think it's for everyone, but for me, it's an absolute game changer, because I only really need three cards, and this has basically enabled me to get rid of my wallet.
Yeah. Wow.
So I am a big fan. Check that out.
So Gary drives a Tesla, doesn't need his keys. Now that's his wallet and his phone. So that's all he puts in his pocket.
Yep.
But what happens if you go to like the subway for the 10th time in a month and you don't have your stamp card? Or is that one of the three critical cards that you keep in the back of your phone?
That goes in the wallet, which stays in the center console of the car.
Oh, so
I'm walking out to the subway or walking out to the Phillies Best. That's right there.
Yeah. So I was asking Gary, because I'm interested in doing this. And he says, well, can you survive on three cards? And I went, sure. ID, debit, credit.
And then Chris proceeded to ask insane hypothetical questions.
But then I was perusing through my wallet and saw other cards I have. They're like, what about my Costco card or my Global Entry card? Or,
right.
When I'm getting these, just leave it in your car. Just leave it in your car. What about cash? Just leave it in your car. When do you need cash on hand ever?
It's because he drives a supercar that has like a Batman shield on the outside of it that like honks at you if you get anywhere near it.
It does flash its light. Its light at me.
Yeah. My Honda, you fucking smile at it and you'll break into it. Like, you know what I mean?
Noted. Well, Matt, this brings me to you.
Yes.
Because you have the largest wallet out of anybody here. Could you survive on three cards?
No.
What's keeping your wallet so large?
Well, first of all, multiple credit cards, because that's how I roll.
But I guess Gary says that with Apple Pay now.
Yeah, to be clear, I have multiple credit cards, but I don't need them all in my pocket at all times.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just have a lot of fucking stamp cards and stuff.
Stamp cards.
And gift cards. And I carry cash that I to have on me. Yeah, gift cards. And I don't know.
I've already moved to the gift card wallet, where I have a wallet that I keep all my gift cards in. And then I only bust them out if I know that I'm going to need it. But I mean, look, if Matt thinks, oh, when he's driving home, I should go to Best Buy right now. He already has his gift card on him.
Booyah.
Then if that's the life that he leads, then I support too. But I think it's bad for your back.
But I don't sit on my wallet, which is the thing that you guys seem to think. When I'm driving, my wallet's on the center console. Mm. When I'm at work, my wallet just sits like on my desk, basically.
Yeah.
I certainly don't have it on me when I'm at home.
Yeah.
So I would rarely sit on the wallet, but at least it's like a pouch of things that I need.
Yeah. My wallet right now is the same wallet as Kalen, which I've taken Kalen's wallet home.
And Dawson.
Oh, and Dawson. Yeah, we have the same wallet because it was a
You've
sponsor
taken
here.
My wallet. Oh,
you both have taken your wallet?
Yeah.
Can't stop leaving your wallet out around us then.
Matt, I will say this, though. I was just like you, maybe not quite as bad, but big wallet for a lot of my life. And then we did get the Z Clip sponsor wallet.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that I would be able to survive with just the minimal stuff, but I gave it a go. And yeah, it worked out.
I will
say, changed my life. So
wow.
I will say though, Matt does take his loyalty rewards cards very seriously. Matt and I recently went to get a car wash at the same time on like a Friday afternoon at the end of work, and we went together. And we went, we put our cards in, and we went up to pay. And Matt was paying in front of me, and he was digging through his wallet. And after about 30 seconds, I was like, dude, what the fuck? And he's like, I can't find my goddamn stamp card for the car wash. And I was like, well, get the fuck out of the way. I'll pay. And then when you find it, you can go back and have her stamp it for both of our washes, because I don't have a card for that place. I don't go there very often.
Great.
So Matt did. He went outside, and I paid. And then I went outside and sat down next to him. And we were having a polite conversation, but Matt was still digging through his wallet. And about 5 minutes later, he goes, God damn it. I just realized what happened. Ryan went to get Adam's car washed, and I sent him with my loyalty card so that he could get it stamped, and that motherfucker never brought it back. And Matt was like shook. He was so angry.
Intern Ryan.
You'd think you would notice the weight missing in your wallet.
You would think so. We went to finish Gary's story. We went back to the car wash lady. I got a brand new card. And the lady fucking stamped Gary's and mine as two different types of car wash because Gary spent a little bit more than I did. So his stamp is useless to me.
Yeah, I thought I was being magnanimous. And I was like, well, here, Matt. I mean, Ryan fucked you over, but you'll get two stamps out of this. Nope, you got one stamp for the kind of wash he gets and one for the kind I get.
And he just got a whole other card.
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically one more card in the wallet.
All right. Well, maybe, Matt, you need your thicker wallet than if you're going to be doing
Listen, isn't it trendy to be thicker? Isn't that what everybody says?
Yeah, it is true.
I'm just trying to live that thick life.
Casey, I'll take that drop. Thank you.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you, Gary, for your tech talk.
Sure thing. You want a joke corner?
Sure.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
What is the delivery? What does the baby computer call its father? Data.
Aww.
That was a joke corner.
That's great.
That's great.
All right, and let's just keep going down the line. Matt, you got a Chef Fond du Lac. I see a treat on our console.
A bevy of treats.
And I think we need to talk about it. So here we go.
Oh, no!
What type of foods might we hear of today? What might be the price? What might be the venue? So let's find out. It's time for Gary to say, hey, Matt.
What's on the menu that I definitely can't eat?
Well, today's menu is brought to you by flourandbranch.com. Flour, F-L-O-U-R, like the kind of flour you cook with. One of my closest friends and his lovely wife recently moved up to San Francisco. And in the midst of this pandemic, she has opened up her own bakery. But because we live in the 21st century, you don't need a storefront anymore. You get basically your own private kitchen room, and you can just take orders from all over the world, and they'll just ship it to you super fresh, you know, shipping within 1 or 2 days, heat it up, and it tastes as good as it would if you had just walked out of a bakery with it yourself.
Yeah.
So my friend over at flourandbranch.com sent over some goodies for all of us.
Oh, man.
And I don't know if you guys saw, but I walked in today with two boxes. And by boxes, I mean like gigantic industrial boxes that were filled with smaller boxes that included the full range of the products that these guys make. And I've been snacking on them all weekend long. And it's just effing amazing. So first, I got to say, in addition to the cookies, she does these like sweet buns.
I had one this morning.
So there's two different kinds. They're both incredible. One is a strawberry hibiscus basil bun. And the other is a spiced citrus bun, which is like a cinnamon, pecan, vanilla.
Like orange.
Did you heat it up?
Oh, of course.
All right, good. We got that toaster oven. That's really key here.
I didn't see the microwave and it was still at 10.
Now, this morning I had some stuffed French toast. There's this huge tray in there that is French toast that's stuffed with – first of all, it's made with challah, which –
Holla
French toast is like the way to go.
Holla is quietly an incredible bread in any way you want bread. It's so flavorful. It's soft. It's one of my favorite breads.
So that's like the base of this French toast, and it's got, like I said, like peanut butter and chocolate in it. I mean, it's so decadent and so rich, but it was delicious. But I will say that where Lauren, the head baker, has really hit her stride are with the cookies. And inside of this box, inside of the other box out there, there's probably 15 different kinds
of
cookie.
Hold one up.
Now, I've looked at the back of these, and just based on the names, I think it is unfortunate to even call these things cookies. They are freaking works
of
art.
They're monsters.
They are so involved. They're crazy.
Yeah. So they're mounds.
I just by coincidence, I grabbed two of the of my favorite ones. The first one I ever tried was called the Salty Sumbitch. And it's a butterscotch cookie that also has coated chocolate coated toffee and a dash of sea salt.
I love salt with sweet. Now, salt on any dessert. I'm for.
I took a bite out of it and my quote was literally, holy fuck, this is an amazing cookie.
You can use that flour and brand.
There you go. That's for you.
Tagline.
This other one that I happened to grab is probably my second favorite. It's called the Chipper, and it's basically a combination of a chalk chip cookie and a s'more with espresso and with like little rice crisps in it.
That sounds good.
It was so good. And Dawson, please take one home with you.
I'll take that one.
Yeah, here. By all means, there's a bunch. They're really, really good. And then she also sent complimentary these Rice Krispie treat squares that you have to like dislocate your jaw in order
to
put it in your mouth. It's the size of a Big Mac.
They're the size of your wallet, dude. Like they are, they are hefty. Like the and I okay. So I came into work today. Oh, and these things are like made by. It's not Rice Krispie cereal. It's like Captain Crunch, and like looks like there's like some cocoa pebbles in there.
Oh yeah,
it's
huge chunks of marshmallow too.
Yeah, chocolate. So I came into work. And usually my first thing is I just go get a cup of coffee and buy the coffee where all these decadent baked goods. And the only difference, because I was here last night, they weren't here last night, is Matt Fondelier's here. So I go straight to Matt. I go, Matt, what is going on with all this? And he's telling me about it. And see, I'm in a weird position. Like Gary, I'm trying to lose some LBs. Sure. And Jen's work right now is doing a fitness challenge with her all of her staff, like between her like department and all the other departments at the hospital. So when she does a fitness challenge, I'm basically on that diet too because we're eating the same thing at home. And so it was quite nice to walk into this and see all these wonderful treats. And yes. I've tried a bunch of stuff. I had that Rice Krispie treat. And it does have a little espresso in it too with the Captain Crunch and the marshmallow and the chocolate. Divine. But
yes.
I had a cookie today. It was stuffed with PB&J. It was a cookie filled with PB&J. And wow!
It's incredible, right?
I loved it.
Before she opened this bakery, she worked like in finance. I had no idea that she had the ability to bake like this. So anyway, all this to say, this is a relatively new business. I think it's important to support your friends.
Yes.
I'll also say her husband is a massive Corolla fan. That's how I first met them. So they're Corolla-centric, I would say. Flowerandbranch.com. Please check it out. You can just – the website is also beautiful, and you could really see the love and the care that's put into all of these baked goods. Extremely delicious. The packaging is also great. It would make a great gift if you're a little worried about the LBs. But I say fuck it. Have a great time.
Me
flowerandbranch.com. And that's what's on the menu.
Yes. flowerandbranch.com. Thank you so much for the treats. It really made our work day.
And they've been getting picked away all day. I brought in a lot of sweets and I was like, I don't know if we're going to get through all this.
There were a couple Rice Krispie treats that I wanted to try and they're gone now.
Yeah.
Like, where the hell did they go? So there you go. But I couldn't be happier that they provided us with this wonderful food. So thank you again. All right, we have one more segment to get to, and then we can get out of here. Are you ready, Kalen?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
We all want to know one thing. Your opinion's what we need. So, Kalen, get on that mic and flick the bean.
Oh, Kalen, flick the bean.
Respect all women.
King of Staten Island.
Oh, I've seen this.
Yes. It's available now on HBO Max. It just came out on that platform. It was released back in June on Amazon. I think it was the first big movie to be released after the pandemic started, the kind of at-home watching thing. You can rent it on Amazon.
It's supposed to be a big release.
Yeah.
Apatow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Directed by Judd Apatow, written by Pete Davidson and Judd Apatow, stars Pete Davidson, Bill Burr, Marissa Tomei, Steve Buscemi, Maude Apatow. It's essentially, Pete Davidson's life. You know, it's about a guy in his early 20s whose dad died when he was a kid, and he just kind of smokes weed and hangs out all day until his mom meets a new guy, and that forces him to kind of grapple with his grief and kind of take his first steps in life in the real world.
Glow up.
Kind of, exactly, a glow up.
Callback.
It's got a 74% critic and 84% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Don't let that dissuade you.
Great trailer, because they use the song "One Headlight" by the Wallflowers, and I love that song.
Factors into a moment in the film.
It does.
I got to be honest. I always was kind of bugged by Pete Davidson. I don't really know why. I didn't have a good reason to be. I just never really liked him very much. I didn't dislike him, but he was just kind of whatever to me.
Yeah.
But this film actually made me like him and appreciate him a lot more. He's really good in it. Bill Burr is great in it. And Marissa Tomei is great in it. All the acting, all the characters, they're all very good. I'm just so used to like what an Apatow movie means to me after all of the Apatow movies that have come out. The ones he directed, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Trainwreck.
Yeah.
And then the ones he was a producer on that were always Apatow movie also. Superbad, Pineapple Express, Anchorman, Step Brothers, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, man.
I mean, these are just the greatest comedies of pretty much my life, of my generation. Yeah. So I'm so used to hearing an Apatow movie and thinking, oh, this the hardest I've ever laughed at movies were all of his movies.
Just iconic comedic scenes.
Dying in the movie theater.
High LPMs.
When your stomach hurts and your face hurts because you're just laughing so hard. And so this is a good heartfelt coming-of-age story, and it is funny, but it doesn't elevate to that level of funny that I'm used to when I hear like an Apatow movie. And I didn't really know too much about it going into it, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I was a little disappointed that it wasn't that funny, because that's what I had in my mind. So I was like, oh, I kind of had to change my perception of like what the movie was afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of angry that it wasn't like living up to what I'm used to Judd Apatow being. But again, it's more of like the story and the coming of age story of Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of the first real movie he directed since Trainwreck, which was also hilarious. I thought that one was really, really funny. So that was kind of a bummer for me. There was like one or two moments where I did laugh out loud. The rest of the time it was kind of more amusing, a lot of chuckles. It's very well made, and it's a little bit long for me too.
Mm-hmm.
I did feel by the end of it, I was like, okay, let's wrap this one up here. Maybe the 2 hour mark would have been a better fit for me. But at the end of the day, it is a good movie. It's amusing, it's enjoyable, and it is very funny at times. Flickable, 7.1 out of 10.
Oh,
alright.
Alright. Yeah.
It's a little bit better than Zoolander 2.
A little bit better.
We all want it.
Oh. Remember my keys. Alright, I agree with you. I wasn't sure what kind of movie I was going to get. I do always love those big laugh movies like 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. But yeah, this was a little, it's like, it was charming in its own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little long though.
How did that guy date Ariana Grande for so long?
I don't think it was that long.
It wasn't that long?
No. Oh, for some reason I thought it was like a long time.
No, it was
They just moved quickly.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. They got engaged.
It was so distracting. The whole time I was watching the movie, I'm like, this guy? This is who Ariana Grande was engaged to. This guy.
Regardless of it being Ariana Grande, he has a track record of pulling in some major hotties.
He's dated some very, very attractive, famous
women.
He has a comedy special that I think is available on Amazon Prime. I wasn't a huge fan of it, but he has a chunk in there about dating Ariana Grande that was very insightful. And he basically turns it around that Ariana Grande saying that he has a giant dick was like the most fucked up thing in the world and like a masterclass in fucking with him, because now everyone's disappointed when they see it. It's pretty interesting.
Well, there you go. All right. Thank you for reviewing that, Kalen.
No problem.
And I'm curious to hear your Cobra Kai thoughts once you get caught up.
Burn through it first.
You got to get through the whole show.
Whole show. So far.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, that'll do it for Water Cooler. Why don't we get our plugs in, and then we can GTFO. And I'll start with Mr. B and Kalen. Where could go for you?
Oh, don't worry about me.
All right. Classic. Gary, what's up with you?
My plug is a shout-out to a guy named Kevin, who operates a law firm and court reporting business, and he has a little basket that he leaves out for clients that come into the office to pick up snacks, and it is well populated with Chunk Nibbles.
Oh!
I wanted to say, thank you for the support. And if you want to check out Chunk Nibbles, you know, Flower and Branch is a great business as well, but if you're in the mood for some Chunk Nibbles, use code WOOFWOOF15 for 15% off.
What a treat to go into that guy's office. Like, oh, I'm just going to get a little snack here.
Seriously.
Chunk Nibbles. Whoa.
Yeah, that ain't bad. Matt, what about you?
I'll just once again say thanks to flowerandbranch.com for incredible cookies and other baked goods.
Yep.
Yeah.
And again, they ship all over the place, all over the country. So please support. Check it out.
Yeah, everybody has to try Flower and Branch.
Yeah, damn good.
Beautiful stuff. Dawson, what about you?
If you live in the vicinity of a Vallarta supermarket, or as I like to call it, El Supermarket, get the fried chicken, man. It's real good.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes it good?
It tastes great.
That's a good sign.
That's fantastic. And the price. You can't really beat the price. You get like 8 pieces for $7.
Wow.
And beans and rice. And then you take the beans and rice and save that. And then you buy one of those pre-made like fajitas, just uncooked. And then you make a shitload of burritos with that beans and rice that you got from Vallarta that you didn't really have to pay for because it came with the fried chicken.
Look at this.
I'm making burritos tonight. I had fried chicken on Sunday.
I'm crafty.
I'm glad you did this plug because normally at that price point, I would be afraid to eat it. That's too cheap.
Oh, it's so good.
If you're saying it's good, I'm
so
in.
So damn good.
I trust it. Who doesn't love fried chicken? Man, my mouth's watering thinking about it. We got to hit up, where's our place?
Gus's.
Gus's.
It's Gus's fried good. Chicken. It's not that good. Gus's.
That's
is
some fried chicken.
Yeah, Gus's is nice. All right. And as for my plug, I'll piggyback on Matt just because they fed us such great treats today. Flower and Branch, PB&J cookie. Real nice.
Hell yeah.
This is very good stuff. All right. That'll do it for Water Cooler. We'll be back later this week with our Patreon episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you later. And we love you. Bye.